Dave and Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast. Here we go. It's a review of our morning show.
Yeah, here we go again.
Mm-hmm. Get ready for the Top 5 Things. Which one should we start with?
Well, I'd start with number one.
No, I guess that makes sense.
Number one.
Number one.
You ever been up to the Mall of America?
Yeah, once.
Once is enough, right?
For me, it was a mall.
Yeah. Well, it's a big mall. I don't know. It's not the biggest in America anymore, right?
I know that when we were up there, I think it had like a Planet Hollywood restaurant in it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was already closed. I think the Planet Hollywood restaurant had already crashed and burned.
Really?
Yeah.
80% of the people that go to the Mall of America are from either Minnesota, of course, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Illinois, Ohio, or Canada.
Because anybody else is not interested.
Be a long way to drive to go to a mall.
To do what? But the Mall of America, it's got a roller coaster in it, right?
Yeah, they have what they call the Nickelodeon Universe. It used to be Camp Snoopy. There's an indoor theme park there. And the last time we were there was a couple of years ago. They were doing some sort of major expansion. And
how many times have you been there?
I want to say twice. And there's talk that we might, as a family, venture up there at some point this summer. Like we might do a Minneapolis weekend.
Did Owen ever make it up there and remember it?
No, he's never been.
Okay, so he hasn't been there.
No, he's only been to Minneapolis, the airport. That's it. So it seems like it'd be
I would love to hear the conversation where you let him know that you're going to be driving up how many hours to a mall.
Well, I think we'll do other things when we're up there.
No, I'm sure but just that conversation I'd love to watch.
I'm gonna let his mother handle that.
I'd love to watch the eye roll.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be the one to break it to him.
You're not gonna break the news to him, huh?
No thanks. Uh-huh. They have, of course, the Mall of America. There are restaurants and stores. There's also
don't look for Planet Hollywood.
Is there a Planet Hollywood anywhere?
I don't think so.
Those are all closed, right?
I don't know. Yeah. How long were they even open?
That was a big deal in the 90s.
Basically, just the idea is like, hey, this is a restaurant. We should just let you know this is a restaurant owned by some actors. Right.
Right. Right. Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger own the place.
And Sly.
Yeah. That's why we're going to need.
That's what this is.
Yeah, we're going to
need. These guys are the ones making money off your burger. If that trips your trigger.
There's a Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
Well, there was in Vegas.
In Vegas.
Yes, I've stayed there.
Okay.
I think that's still
there. There, yeah. Used to be the Aladdin.
It was the Aladdin.
And now it's...
Yeah. And I've been through the Aladdin. I've stayed at the Aladdin as well.
Really? So well, you like what you like when you're in Vegas, don't you? October 2001, Planet Hollywood filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
And when?
October 2001.
Oh, we were there long before that.
They were blaming the shutdown from the attacks on the World Trade Center of the Pentagon for an economic slowdown. But apparently they developed new Planet Hollywood resorts like 10 years later. I don't know that you can go to Planet Hollywood in Minneapolis, but I will say that they also have at the Mall of America there, which is technically in, I think, Bloomington, Minnesota. It's not in Minneapolis or St. Paul. They also have hotels that they have built into the mall for people that just want to shop all day and then, you know, not leave the campus. You can just walk from the store to your hotel room.
Ugh.
Skyler Aris Dupree Thomas is a 29-year-old man who's gotten into some trouble at one of the Mall of America hotels. He's been charged with fifth-degree assault and trespassing. These are both misdemeanors. These charges stemming from an incident that happened when he allegedly pulled out a wizard wand and pointed it at a Bloomington, Minnesota hotel employee. Bloomington police called to the Hyatt Place Hotel on International Drive just after midnight on Friday on a report of a person with a weapon. Hotel employee told police that Thomas, who'd been issued a trespass notice back in November that prohibits him from coming to the hotel until late this November, walked into the hotel and reached into a bowl of used room keys. The criminal complaint states that the employee then asked Thomas to leave several times. Thomas then started calling the employee racial slurs. As the employee followed Thomas out of the hotel...
That's not very wizard-like.
No! Well, grand wizard.
Well, that's true.
As the employee followed Thomas out of the hotel, Thomas allegedly pulled out a magic wand that the employee thought was a long knife.
Now what are you going to do about it?
In response, the hotel employee, who has a conceal and carry permit, pulled out a gun and pointed it at Thomas. The complaint goes on to say Thomas kicked over a garbage can and then started walking away before turning and again pointing the magic wand at the employee. I know you've got a gun, and I know I've got a magic wand, but this isn't over. A witness confirmed the employee's story. Investigators noted that the wand was about 16 inches long, with a hard metal point at the end that makes it look like a knife. Thomas arraigned in court on Monday and granted a conditional release. There'll be a pretrial hearing next month. If convicted, Thomas is looking at 180 days behind bars, a fine of up to $2,000, or maybe even both.
Ooh.
Yeah. Although, if he's a wizard, can't he just abracadabra his way out of prison?
Yeah, a little smoke bomb action, he's gone.
How about I do a spell of enchantment, and I will talk...
Would you like that?
Talk the guards into letting me out. It says here, from previous calls, the officers knew that the defendant was referencing a stick that had been fashioned to what looked like a wizard's wand. Eventually, he did leave the building. And then when they made it outside, Thomas pulled out the wand and approached the employee. That's when the employee pulled out a handgun. Don't bring a magic wand to a handgun fight.
Duh.
Two.
There's a story from the Catholic University of America. They were going through some stuff. I guess this was last year. Last year, they were going through some stuff, and they find this shoebox that somebody had wrapped in a trash bag, and it was stuck on top of a bunch of mailboxes. They open up the shoebox, and inside is a blue gingham dress and white blouse that had yellowed over time, and it looked just like a replica of what Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
They did a little bit more research, only to discover that it was not a replica. It's actually the dress that she wears in The Wizard of Oz.
What size? What was Judy hanging back then?
She was a 12. I don't know.
No, she wasn't a 12.
I don't know what any of that means.
A 12.
I'm looking here. It just says, on the inside, it says Judy Garland 4225. 169L. Does that help you out at all?
No, I don't know what that means.
I guess this wasn't a complete shock because the guy who discovered it, Matt Ripa, had searched all over the department there for this dress.
Why would they have it?
It was gifted to the school by actress Meredith McCambridge back in 1973. But nobody had seen the dress for decades. So there was no guarantee that it had survived. Again, the university got it in 1973 as a gift and like, thanks. And then they never thought about it again.
What are we going to do with this?
It was stored somewhere, I guess, in the drama department. It's not clear how many of Dorothy's dresses were sewn in total. Obviously, she's not wearing the same dress the entire movie. She would go through them. There are five dresses that we know of that remain today. This one, however...
The Tin Man himself ruined a couple.
Get your paws off me, you damn dirty tin man.
Silver paint all over this now.
I like the Wizard of Oz.
We all do. It's great.
Goes without saying, you little weirdo.
There are only five of the dresses that remain today, but this one that was rescued still has the blouse, which is a big deal. Experts think they even know when Judy Garland wore the dress. It was during the scene when the Wicked Witch of the West locks Dorothy up at her castle with the hourglass, counting down to her death.
Or when she fell in with the pigs.
Did that happen in the movie?
Well, yeah.
She falls in with the pigs?
Yeah.
This particular costume is a rarity among rarities, which is why they think when it goes up.
Damn you,
auction,
be with me!
She's. It says here that.
I gifted you.
It's going to go for between $800,000 and $1.2 million in an upcoming auction.
And that'll go back to the drama department?
I would imagine. Probably doesn't go to the guy who found the dress, right? The dress will be sold as part of a classic Hollywood film and television auction in L.A. next month. The school is donating the dress in order to raise money for the drama department.
There you go.
Yeah.
But why was it just sitting on, after all these years of not being found, all of a sudden it's just sitting on top of a mailbox?
Yeah, that's what makes this statement that the college put out kind of weird. It says, while parting with this dress is bittersweet, the proceeds are going to help support future generations training for professional careers in theater. It might just be that the funding helps prepare the next Mercedes McCambridge or Judy Garland. How is it bittersweet parting with something you had no idea where it was?
And who really had it? I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like.
Why does it show up like that? The Unabomber really had it?
I don't know. Mercedes McCambridge was the voice of the demon in The Exorcist.
Claim to fame, huh?
That's what I have her. I guess she was a radio actress back in the days when Orson Welles had his radio show.
That's not bad.
But it says here she was born in Joliet and she provided the voice of the demon in The Exorcist in 1973. So
get out.
The demon from The Exorcist somehow had her hands on that. How does she get her hands on this? How does she have the dress in her hands?
Well, she clearly made a deal with the devil.
That doesn't seem right. For Judy Garland's clothes that they would just put in a box and store somewhere? Well,
yeah, how did they even get a hold of these things?
I don't know. I'd love to know how she got a hold.
It's like
she's not in the Wizard of Oz.
No, it's like 16 candles where they end up with Molly Ringwald's underwear.
Right. It would be one thing if Judy Garland gave the dress to the school.
I don't think that happened.
Or Margaret Hamilton. Like, that would make sense. How does this woman have it?
Yeah, even Margaret Hamilton. It's like, well, how did you end up with it? Judy threw it in my face on the last day of shooting.
Mercedes.
As soon as we were done, she took it off and threw it right in my face. Call me a witch.
Mercedes McCambridge was an artist in residence at the Catholic University of America in 1973 when she gifted the dress to the head of the drama department. She was a contemporary of Judy Garland's, and the two were, it says here, supposedly friends. But it's unclear on how she came into possession of the dress. Oh, yeah, no, we were friends. Just
And calling yourself a contemporary is a long way from a colleague.
Right.
Contemporary just means you lived at the same time.
You know what I mean? Right. Right. Well, we were contemporaries.
You know, I was a contemporary of Nelson Mandela.
The dress was lost sometime in the 1980s and rediscovered last year. So they got it in 73. Sometime in the 80s, it just went missing. This Matt Ripa says, I looked in our archives, storage closets, to no avail.
And then all of a sudden, it just ends up on a mailbox?
That's what it says here. Matt Ripa, the guy that found the dress, says, our building is in the process of renovations and upgrades, so I was cleaning out my office to prepare. I noticed on top of the faculty mailboxes was a trash bag, and I asked my coworker to hand it to me. On the trash bag was a note for our former chair stating that he found this in his office, and he must have moved it when he moved out of the chair's office. I was curious what was inside and opened the trash bag, and inside was a shoebox, and inside the shoebox was the dress. I couldn't believe it. Discovering this historic dress was a memorable moment that we're proud to present for auction, it says here. So it's a...
It was aggressively soiled.
In places that don't make sense.
We're going to have to hand wash this one.
Well, if you'd like...
we're gonna have to soak this before the auction.
It's on view right now if you want to go to New York. You can take a look at it through the weekend. You can take a look at the the dress, the Judy Garland Dorothy dress. Estimated, it says here, at $800,000 to $1.2 million.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. This incredibly rare and iconic Hollywood costume has also been matched to a specific scene. How do they figure that out? Mm. I mean, it's the same dress in all the... It's the same dress, but there's different versions of that dress.
Well, how you wouldn't think you'd need that many different versions.
Yeah. I mean, I could... It says there's only five that they know of the dress, but the blouse underneath, there's only two. That sounds about right. Make like five of them. Because, yeah, I bet she could... I bet she could tear
the Munchkins them. Tore at it pretty good.
Constantly clawing at her. Till you get to a point where there's not enough pills in your medicine cabinet to make the little hands go away.
No, her legs were all scratched up during that entire shoot.
Left a couple of loose teeth in her ankles. Just constantly pulling little teeth out of the back of her foot. Ah!
And you wonder why someone gets hooked on pain pills.
Yeah, no. This Judy Garland went through some things.
Yeah, I can still. The little fist of fury still to this day.
Number three.
The Dublin Airport in Ireland dealing with noise complaints. Airports, by their very nature, are noisy affairs, yes?
Mm-hmm. A lot of goings-on.
12,272 noise complaints from the Dublin Airport. It's worth pointing out that all 12,270 noise complaints came from one person.
Wow.
That's cakes for nutches!
That is dedication.
One person... responsible.
I live at the end of the tarmac.
For 90% of all complaints about noise.
It's me again. Guess what?
The complainant lodged 12,272 complaints during the 2021 calendar year at an average rate of 34 cases a day.
Yeah, it's me.
What else are you getting done?
It's me. I called.
The planes are loud again. Do something about it. Oh, another one. Oh, you're no help. The cat peed himself. Can you blame him? Can you blame him?
He's got no legs. He's like McGregor.
Reports from the individual accounted for 90% of complaints received by the airport operator about noise from aircraft taking off and landing at Dublin.
What? No, that one was quiet. I'm not going to call in about that one. Oh, wait. No, that one's too loud.
At almost double the 6,227 complaints that this same individual filed in 2020.
Oh, no, yeah. The effort's getting ramped up.
Well, I mentioned there's a lot more air travel last year as opposed to 2020, right?
That makes sense.
The unidentified complainant is understood.
Oh, they don't know who it is.
No, well, I mean, I think that's like a privacy issue, right? Understood to live northwest of Dublin and is largely responsible for a dramatic increase in complaints filed since 2019. Before that, they were getting like 1,500 noise complaints a year. But last year, the total was 13,569, dudes.
Sure.
Because of course it was.
69, dudes!
The number of flights has returned to near pre-pandemic levels, and this same individual so far in calendar year 2022 has filed a total of 5,276 complaints. I guess that's just January, February, and March. No word on how many they've filed in April. Most complaints are filed by residents living near Dublin Airport and on flight paths of aircraft. Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't matter if you live in Moline or Dublin, Ireland. If you live near the airport, you're going to hear planes. A solution would be to move to somewhere that's not near the airport. They have a noise and flight track monitoring system that uses fixed noise monitoring terminals. And they show that 97% of commercial flights that use the Dublin Airport adhered to designated flight paths on approach and takeoff last year. So they're trying their best to do some sort of noise management, but for this person, it's just not enough. And they're going to keep filing these. How much effort do you think it is to make a complaint? Is it just sending an email, or is there like a form you got to fill out 12,272 times?
It keeps me quite busy. I get nothing else accomplished.
Well, another plane's coming in.
That's all I need.
Number four.
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 Imagine living in a part of our country where stray poultry is a thing that you just have to deal with. Down in Slidell, Louisiana, a stray rooster showed up at a Popeye's chicken restaurant looking for some answers, apparently. Rooster shows up at the Popeye's. The employees decided to adopt the bird. They've named him Rocco. Rocco the rooster. They even built him a coop that's right next to the drive-thru there at the Popeye's chicken. Does that seem like the best idea?
We told you it's fresh.
Imagine you're getting your Popeyes and there's just a rooster staring at you the whole time. No thanks.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
You know what? I'll have the popcorn shrimp.
Can't imagine you have any of those leering at me.
You got those? You got shrimp?
I'll just have, what are their sides that they're known for?
A macaroni and cheese?
Give me some macaroni and cheese. There's not like a cow that's going to give me a dirty look, huh?
Or a wheel of cheese.
An angry block of cheese. No thanks. just a rooster there in Slidell, Louisiana, letting you know that what do they say? Rules the roost?
I'm aware of stuff.
He's a regular here. I'm looking at the video. A regular at the Popeye's restaurant. The rooster
good
showed
way to
up,
get bird flu.
Showed up after Hurricane Ida blew through.
So we like looked around the neighborhood and they was like, it's not our chicken. He'll go around to the front door, look around. He'll go around to the window, the drive-thru window, and just look.
Yeah, that's creeping me out, man. It says here that Rocco's a big hit with the customers and people will come by to feed him. They're not feeding him chicken, are they? Here you go. Here's some nuggets. Enjoy. Maybe you knew these people.
Yeah, but isn't there the chance that someone who's like a dollar short is going to start chewing on Rocco?
You know, I don't have the money for what I'm hungry for is
originally
the
we thought this character was going to just kiss Rocco, and then we noticed it was more than that. It wasn't really a sign of affection.
No, it's
he was trying to eat Rocco raw.
What I wanted was the.
I don't get paid till next Friday. And
gotta make this happen. I'm telling you, I don't have enough for the food that I want at Popeyes.
I know, but I understand.
Well, I guess. You know who's from Slidell, Louisiana?
Who?
Our guy Matt Forte.
Oh, yeah?
That's his hometown.
Yeah, he went to Tulane.
Yeah, true story. I don't know. Part of me thinks it would be kind of fun to have a chicken coop right there by the drive-thru, but I think most of me thinks it would just be weird and creepy, and it would freak me out.
And there'd be bird poop. yeah, I don't know, as far as some sort of health code.
Right. How are you getting away with
this? That's the best idea.
Yeah, and should people be getting out feeding a wild rooster and then eating their Popeyes?
Typically, our chicken is prepared for us.
You don't eat roosters, right?
Eating the hens.
Right. You could eat a rooster, but people don't, right? When they come
you could eat a monkey if you wanted to.
Wait a minute. Well, where's that available? I'm not saying no. How is it prepared? I mean, what sort of seasoning are we talking about? You could eat a rooster, right? I'm asking. I grew up in the suburbs. I don't know. And I know that a lot of you are ashamed of me right now for not knowing this. Is that a thing, eating roosters? Or is their job just to make more chickens with the hens?
Get more chickens.
Would the meat be... I mean, it's still a bird.
It is a bird.
Have you ever had a rooster?
Not to my knowledge.
Is that ever, like, on a menu? Do they ever say, like, hey... We had some roosters coming. I can get you a deal. I can knock a couple bucks off if you want to eat the rooster. And there's a big dish in France that they like to do where they have it with wine.
What do they call that?
I don't want to say because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
It's there's a different. I mean, I guess if it's in French, it's okay, right? I'm not sure if I can say this.
It's a dirty word?
Well, people are going to make jokes.
Oh.
You know, what's a different word for a rooster, right? That's what they call it in France.
Oh, I gotcha.
And I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to lose the station's license on our second year anniversary. Many people do eat roosters. In fact, in some cultures, roosters are the preferred chicken meat. But the thing is, it's expensive and it tastes really different from like a broiler chicken. Apparently, depending on how old the rooster is, too, that can really affect the taste. But the thing is... You don't have as many roosters as you do regular, you know, hens, so it's pretty pricey. You don't need to eat a rooster, but you could if you had to. And, you know, if it's me and a rooster on a desert island, then it's me. You know what I'm saying? Traditional chickens and broiler chickens, by the way, are different. I'm sure you knew this. That the hens that, like, lay eggs are different from the chickens that you eat. So if you're in a pinch, you want to cook the rooster. It says here, using moist heat, you never roast a rooster. Cook it low and slow. And then the meat should be diced up or shredded in a dish with rice and vegetables.
Never snuff the rooster either.
Number five.
A 19-year-old with the longest legs in the world, Macy Kernan is her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's 19. She lives in Texas. She broke 2 Guinness World Records for her tall stature. And now she's a content creator on OnlyFans.
Oh, boy.
Her legs are 4'5". That's just her legs.
Mm-hmm.
She's 6'10". And she got the title from Guinness as having the longest legs in the world. She's now banking on a following of TikTok fans and people at OnlyFans. The TikTok account has almost 2 million followers. 2 million followers since she started posting videos. And on OnlyFans, I guess you have to pay $35 a month.
$35 a month?
For content of this 19-year-old with the longest legs in the world.
And she does what? She just wraps her legs around things?
Yeah, I don't know. OnlyFans is, normally that's where like naked ladies are, right? On her OnlyFans, it's $35 a month, and it says for her content, nudity isn't promised.
So I'm guessing like with OnlyFans, you could charge anything you want.
It must be. Yeah, I don't think there's like a set rate. I don't know how that works. I should get on this.
I got to get into this.
Wait a minute.
I got
30. Anybody want to follow me around?
I got $35 burning a hole in my pocket. I got to get in on this.
No, I'm saying I want to make $35.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
I have no interest in paying $35.
Well, just.
What kind of creep do you think I am?
No, I'd prefer to be content. Give him another dollar.
She says, I just want to prove that tall girls like myself can be as conventionally attractive as anyone else. She lives in Cedar Park, Texas, scored the Guinness World Record for longest female legs and the longest teenage legs. Her right leg is 53.2 inches and her left leg is 52.8 inches. Mm. She says the TikTok account started as a joke, but once it went viral, she decided to use the good energy to spread positive vibes. Quote, I just want people to accept themselves for who they are and embrace their uniqueness. Through posting, I learned self-love, self-acceptance, and I wanted to try and show that being tall isn't as bad as people make it out to be. Do people think being tall is bad?
Well, I mean, if you're, you know, 6'10" is tall.
Yeah. That would be a drag, I guess. She says the benefits of being tall are limited. While her stature has allowed her to be involved in sports like basketball and volleyball, she says she was bullied during her childhood for being so statuesque. She says here, the world isn't built for taller people, and sometimes it's annoying. I feel like everything is built for one size, the ideal size. When people approach me, it's easier to ask them about my height or get a photo with me. I really don't mind answering their questions. They're just curious. The only thing I don't like is when people take photos of me without my permission. Oh, yeah, that would suck.
Well, that's something we all deal with.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you and I, Darren, are very public people. When people get a glimpse of stars like us, they can't help but lose their minds.
The stars on 45.
That's why I always, you know, wear a disguise whenever I go out to the grocer.
Yes.
I put a ball cap on and sunglasses, you know, because the little people, they just want to come and touch the garments. And I can't have it.
Try to pass yourself off as a very old man.
She says these people that take pictures of her without her saying it's okay. She says it's almost a breach of privacy and they ain't even slick about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say having pictures taken of you without you wanting a picture taken is definitely a breach of privacy, right? She is unemployed, but she hopes to become a model and social media influencer full time. She's also decided to stay single by choice, but she says many men do flock to her. Quote, there are a lot of people who like tall girls. Dating is not difficult. I just choose not to date at the moment. She's happy that her videos are making a difference in people's lives, and she says countless fans have reached out to her for advice on body positivity.
When I'm not doing my OnlyFans page, you'll find me picking fruit from trees.
I'm looking here at the Guinness Book of World Records and the page that she's on, and it's just a section called body parts. So here's somebody with like the biggest feet in the world. Here's a guy whose feet are on backward. Oh, wow. And then there's the woman with the longest beard. in the world. She was a judge when I won nationals.
Yeah?
Yeah. I recognize her. There you go.
She knows the... Did she judge you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. She knows...
She judged me. She got up and started going through my beard. And
did
like,
she really?
Oh, yeah. They were measuring with calipers
and
everything.
What was she looking for?
We'd have to have her on the show and ask. I mean, I think they were looking for, you know... strength, density.
It made sure that it was
length.
Like free of mites and stuff.
I'm telling you,
the one thing we can't stand is infestation.
This woman who was she had a beard, and she was one of the judges of the National Beard Championship when I won it back in 19. Remember that back in 19 when I was a national champion?
I do. It was the highlight of my year.
It really was for me, too. I'm telling you this. This woman had the most incredible eyes I've ever seen on a human being.
Huh.
It was just like, I don't know. It was too much. In person, she's just a knockout. She's got that beard, too, and it's like, wow. There's a lot going on here. $35 a month to look at pictures of some 19-year-old with long legs. Hopefully it's a sting operation, right? And if you're somebody that signs up for it, they just send a cop to your house. What's the matter with you people? $35 a month. I wonder how much she's making.
Kind of steep.
Yeah, right? She says social media is the prime place where she can be herself and showcase her legs. And she also says that she gets a lot of hate in the cyber world. Come on.
That's no good.
She says, when I first started TikTok, it would bother me. But as I got older, I realized, why should I care what random people say about me all over the internet?
And if they're not paying $35.
Random.
Yeah. You know, what do I care?
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing.
Well, that wasn't so bad.
Did you think it was going to be bad?
Well, you just never know. It's the unknown.
I mean, generally, these are good. More often than not.
Yeah, but
people
still
seem to enjoy them.
Yeah.
I guess you're right, though. It would be unrealistic to expect them always to be fun. Every once in a while, there's going to be a real
I mean,
clunker.
You got to be, you know, you're out there on a high wire.
That's right.
You never know
what's
going to happen.
That's right. We're on the razor's edge when we're doing these things.
Uh-huh.
Until we get a chance to do another one for you. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad City.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island.
Come on,
and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
It's over, Johnny. It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.